Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times 8. I don't know. A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is your team every day right here on Locked On Lions. Welcome in on a Monday, December 19th, into Tuesday, December 20th. What's going on, everybody? Is the sky falling yet? Is the season over? Apparently it is. Matt Derry with you on Locked On Lions. Yes, the first place Detroit Lions. At 9-5 after yesterday's loss to the Giants, the lead in the division, yes, now a precarious one game over the Green Bay Packers with two games to go. And you'd think, in listening to some of the fans and the radio and reading the comments and your tweets to me at Derry Speaks on Twitter and the comments on the Matt Derry fan page on Facebook, you'd think the season was over. Guys, I didn't expect this team to win Sunday. The Giants are very good and have a very good defense and have a much better defense than the Lions. And yet, when the team knocked off the Bears 2 weeks ago and the team went into Minnesota and swept the Vikings and all this stuff, it was, oh my gosh, we may have something special here. Now, a day after the club goes into New York and loses on the road to the Giants without their center and anchor of the offensive line, Travis Swanson, with Darius Slay, their best defensive player, out for the entire second half, leaving Asa Jackson to have to cover Sterling Shepard and OBJ, and no Theo Riddick, and all of a sudden the season's over. I don't understand it. Thank you for listening, and welcome in. On audioboom.com and on iTunes, it is Matt Derry with you on Locked On Lions each and every day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes if you do, and thanks for listening. Coming up in a little bit on the podcast, you will hear the comments of Jim Caldwell, which I disagree with, and as he sort of reverses field a little bit on what he said yesterday after the Odell Beckham Jr. obvious drop in the first quarter, in which Caldwell said yesterday, well, it was only a four-yard play. We didn't review it. We will play some of that for you. I want to get into the fans' mindset and where this organization sits right now with two games to go. I also want to remind you that the Locked On Lions podcast for December 19 into December 20 is brought to you by and sponsored by Lakeshore ENT. You're probably wondering, who is Lakeshore ENT? Well, Dr. Adam Rubin and his crew at Lakeshore ENT and the Lakeshore Voice Center are fantastic people. They are a multidisciplinary center with a fellowship-trained laryngologist and voice pathologist. You can check them out online. Dr. Adam Rubin and the folks at Lakeshore Voice Center at lakeshoreent.com. All right, so here we sit with two games to go. I am not ready to jump off the bandwagon. I am not ready to say that the season's over. I am not ready to talk about next year or firing Caldwell or anything else. I'm also not ready to say the Lions don't have a chance on Sunday or Monday night against Dallas and Dallas. Certainly, the Cowboys are the tops in the league. They are the class of the NFC. They might be, to some of you, the class of the NFL. And last night, they took care of business against the Tampa Bay Bucks, albeit in a bit of a squeaker, winning 26-20. But their defense played well down the stretch, had a little bit of a hiccup midway through the game. But with that offensive line and with probably the NFL's MVP and Rookie of the Year in Ezekiel Elliott, Dallas is very, very tough to beat, as the Cowboys now sit at 12-2, and that's going to be a very difficult game for the Lions to win, certainly Sunday night in Dallas, as they come in as 7-point underdogs. But I'm not ready to say they're not going to win that game, or they have no chance to win that game. I think that there's this mindset for Lions fans that we go right back after one loss, okay? They had won 8 of 9 and 5 in a row. And now after one loss, it's SOL, it's Caldwell sucks, it's this team's terrible, it's CUSC, their schedule was weak. I saw Rob Parker, I love Rob, right? Rob's a friend, and Rob's now out at Fox Sports 1. He's doing some work on that Skip Bayless show, and he's doing some Fox Sports radio work on the weekends. Rob moved out to L.A., and Rob was, you know, tweeted out, oh, see, this is typical Lions. They've only beaten one team all year with a winning record. They swept the Vikings. I understand that Minnesota is now not any good, but remember when Minnesota was rolling and 5-0, and it's like, well, let's see if the Lions can beat the Vikings. Then the Lions go out and beat Minnesota twice, and now that the Vikings have dipped below 500 or at 500, now all of a sudden it's, oh, see, Lions are... Everybody seems to always want to find the negative with the Lions, and I'm not telling you they're a great football team, because they're not. I'm not telling you they're a Super Bowl contender, because they're not. And fans should expect more, and the bar should be raised higher. Now, with a new general manager in Bob Quinn, a new president in Rod Wood, and, quite frankly, new ownership in Martha Ford, the bar should be raised higher. We should not be sitting around here talking about, well, it'd be nice to just get in the playoffs. But for this season, let's be realistic with what the expectations were at the start of the year and what they are now. This is a football team that at the beginning of the year, many of you thought were going to go 5-11, 6-10. They'll be lucky to do this. They'll be lucky to do that. Stafford's not that good. Let's see if he could finally do something. How could they keep Jim Caldwell? This defense is a sieve. This offensive line's going to suck. And in the meantime, the Lions are still going into week 16 with two games to play in first place. And yes, the Packers are hot. They've won four in a row. They're playing well. Aaron Rodgers yesterday with a huge feed to Jordy Nelson to win the game and set up the game-winning field goal. So all of a sudden, we're all scared of the Packers again. Look, the Lions played a lousy game in Green Bay earlier this year and only lost by 7. The Lions should have swept the Packers last year, if not for a Hail Mary. And yes, you can blame Jim Caldwell for that if you'd like. But the Packers are not some world beater. Especially after Matt Barkley had... Cam Meredith and Deontay Tom. I don't know how to spell that. Deontay. Is it D-E-Y-O-N-T-E or D-E-I-O-N-T-E? Deontay Thompson lighting up the Packers secondary. There's just, you know, and you know, I know you're in your car right now driving to work on Tuesday morning, or maybe you're driving home late night Monday listening to the podcast. Can we stop with this world beater Packer team? Which, oh, by the way, has the same record as the Lions on the road? This year, 3-4? Lions have a better conference record. Lions are better in the division than Green Bay. The Lion defense has served up less than 290 points, 285 points. The Packer defense has given up 339 points. Look around the NFC. Tell me who's worse. Oh, well, the Saints and the 49ers. That's it. Oh, but Aaron Rodgers is going to come to the fort. Let's just pump the brakes. The Lions are still okay. That's my point. The Lions are still in a better position than Green Bay is right now. And some of you could make the argument the other way. But I'm not ready to say the sky is falling yet, but I will say this. They must get Travis Swanson, Darius Slay, and Theo Riddick healthy. They have to. Want to remind you, if you are going into your Fantasy Football League Super Bowl this week, there is only one place to go for your fantasy football news, who to start, everything else, and that is Locked On Fantasy Football with Vinny Iyer right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Check it out. All right, so back to the Lions for a second. 9-5, 2 to play. Green Bay has Minnesota coming into Lambeau Field this weekend. The Vikings are not playing good football. We know that. They've now dipped to 7-7. The Lions got to go to Dallas Monday night. I knew the Lions were going to lose Sunday. And I'm not going over the WPRE prediction business. I thought the matchup wasn't good. I think the Giants were more physical in this game. I think the Giants' front got to Stafford a little bit, and the Giants' defensive backs are excellent. And I said last week the key of the game was going to be Theo Riddick's health, and he had to be playing, and he wasn't. As far as this weekend, I think Dallas is excellent. They're very good. Very good. But they're not awesome. Are they a dominating team? They're pretty good. They're pretty good. And their offensive line is dominating. And the Lions' defensive line has got to show up on Monday night. And Tahir Whitehead has got to have another big game like he had yesterday. And I don't even think I mentioned him yesterday in the podcast, and I should have, because that was the best game he played all year. And that O-line and Zeke Elliott, boy, they are pretty scary. And if the Lions can't stop Paul Perkins, they're not going to be able to stop Zeke. But it's not like the Cowboys are 13-point favorite, 14-point favorite. The Lions are going down to Dallas, where they're going to be indoors again. Where Stafford, you know, is going to be going home to Texas. I'm not saying I love their chances, but I'm not ruling it out. I just, you know, and I understand. And I'm not from here. And I'm not going to act like I'm from here and that I've been a Lions fan my whole life. Because I'm not. But I'm a fan now. And I've been in Detroit 20 years. I get it. I know what's happened in the past with Green Bay, whether it's Barry Sanders minus 5 yards, whether it's Sterling Sharp wide open, whether it's the Hail Mary. I get it. Matt Flynn game. I get it. I get it. But I don't look at this league and go, oh, man, the Lions are at the bottom. Right. Certainly Dallas is better than Detroit. Certainly the Giants are better. They proved it. You know, Atlanta's all of a sudden has a better record. And maybe the Falcons with that offense and how explosive they are with Matt Ryan and Freeman and Julio, pretty darn good. All right, Seattle always dangerous, certainly at home. But very pedestrian, I love that word, very pedestrian on the road at 2-4-1. But the rest of this league, I watched Tampa Bay last night. They were trotting out Gostard Chereles at right tackle. You got to be bleeping me, as Hawk Harrelson would say. All right, before we get to Jim Caldwell and his comments today, which I thoroughly disagree with, I do want to tell you about Dr. Adam Rubin and the folks at Lakeshore ENT, all right? Four offices, St. Clair Shores, Macomb, Sterling Heights, and Rochester. Lakeshore Professional Voice Center, like I said before, multidisciplinary center with fellowship-trained laryngologists and voice pathologists, all right? They specialize in all sorts of voice disorders in anyone that has a problem. From high-end professional singers to those who just like reading a bedtime story to their kid. Who's Dr. Adam Rubin? Simple. I love Adam. He's a friend of mine, and he saved my career many years ago. I had a polyp on my vocal cord. I could barely speak. Could barely get through Piston post games after working, doing updates of the ticket, then going up and doing Piston stuff. My voice was shot each and every day. I knew there was something wrong. I went and saw Adam. He performed some surgery on me. Saw Dr. Minaldi, did the voice therapy with her, and it was fantastic. And now I feel so much better, and I sound so much better. All right? Anyone with hoarseness for more than a couple of weeks should be checked out, and the best place to go is Lakeshore Voice Center. LakeshoreENT.com. They've got four offices, again, Macomb, St. Clair Shores, Sterling Heights, and Rochester. Check them out online. Lakeshore, L-A-K-E-S-H-O-R-E, E-N-T, Lakeshore, E-N-T. com. All right, so earlier today, Jim Caldwell was asked again about yesterday. If you missed it, first series of the game, Giants driving, they get into a Lions territory, and on first and 10, they throw a football over the middle to Odell Beckham Jr., and it was an obvious drop. Now, from the angle that we saw on television, it wasn't as obvious as the angle from the end zone that clearly showed him drop the ball, hit the ground, go through his legs, go behind his butt, his ass, and he cradles the ball back in. How Glover Quinn, who was behind him, didn't see that and point that out to the coaches is beyond me. How Tahir Whitehead didn't do the same is beyond me. Yesterday, Jim Caldwell was asked about it after the game, and he said yesterday that he didn't consider challenging the catch because it was only 4 yards. Today, listen to Caldwell sort of reverse his field a little bit, and then we'll talk about it.
It's a lot goes into it. As you well know, it was early in the game, number one. Number two, the fact of the matter is I saw the play happen, and I saw him go down. Looks like he juggled it and had it between his knees. Nobody reacted to it, literally. Most often you got guys saying, hey, throw the flag, that was not a catch, or something of that nature. They didn't give me anything upstairs, obviously, because we didn't see it until late. They don't show them to you till real late. And so right there at the end of it, it would have been throwing a challenge on an uncertain situation because we really didn't know. If we had seen it clearly, okay, like it came out after you got all the stop action pictures and all that kind of stuff, which we have, that's different if we know it for a fact. But I'm talking about when there's uncertainty on a 4-yard play, not going to throw it. And that's where we were. We were kind of in a little bit of a limbo in that situation. So, didn't see it clearly until the next play was up. Yeah, I know you've been covering it a long time, and you do understand that when you are away from home, your opportunity to see video is not very good in terms of, and it's as late as possible, and oftentimes you may not see it at all. That's just kind of the way it is in visiting stadiums.
All right, so there's Jim Caldwell's comments. I don't understand. And why has this only happened to the Lions? Why does this only happen to Caldwell? Jim Caldwell this season has done a very good job. He has. And I know many of you don't like him. Many of you don't have no faith in him, whether it's throwing challenge flags, whether it's the onside kick in Houston earlier this year, whether it's how many men are on the field. Yesterday, they were disorganized from the first play of the game when Asa Jackson was running on and off the field, not knowing if he should have been out there with his fellow personnel. But here's Caldwell today, kind of giving the, oh, well, it was uncertain, and we weren't going to throw the flag, and we didn't know. How do they not know? How do they not know? It's not like the Giants rushed to the line of scrimmage. And again, I guess it's up to me. I guess I'll watch it again on DVR and go back. But how did Glover Quinn not see that? How does nobody on the sidelines yell to Glover Quinn? Did he catch that ball? There's 53 guys on the sidelines. Some are sitting on the bench. I get that. But with all the support staff and all the coaches and all the quality control staff and the training staff and this staffer and that staffer and the people upstairs, nobody? Nobody could tell. And look, it's a 4-yard play. I get it. But this notion that, well, it was just a 4-yard play, who cares? I'm sorry. You want to fight for your team on every play. We would rather have 2nd and 6 for the Giants in your territory or 2nd and 10 from the 50 or whatever it was. You've got to reverse that play. You have to throw a challenge flag when it is that egregious of a call. And I hear what Caldwell said today. I get it. We didn't know. We're on the road. We don't get the benefit of the doubt sometimes. Well, you know what? Sometimes somebody has to say something. Somebody's got to speak up and say, Glover, how did Quinn and Whitehead not see it? Watch the replay. Quinn dives. He's behind him. He sees it. Nobody on the bench didn't yell over to Glover Quinn. Did he catch that ball? I think that's a miss by Caldwell. I think that's a miss by Quinn. And it just seems like this happens far too often with the Lions. And I'm trying to give Caldwell the benefit of the doubt. He's done a nice job this year. Nobody expected this club to be in a position to possibly win 10 or 11 games. Nobody. All right, not even the biggest homers in town like Tom Mazzaway and Freddie the Pizza Man. Okay, nobody. But boy, oh boy, this notion of, well, you know, we can't throw the flag if it's... You know, it's only a 4-yard play, and we didn't know for sure. How come the Lions always just never seem to know for sure? Caldwell's late with that red flag a lot. And those are important plays. 2nd and 10 is much different than 2nd and 6. And some of you might go, oh, it's 4 yards. I'm telling you it is. How did they not know? Nobody? Nobody saw it? Nobody saw the ball squirt out? Nobody. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. But you heard from Jim Caldwell there, and I just think that this has happened. This has happened way too much. It's no longer just a little bit of a coincidence. It's a trend. It's a trend with him. All right, that's all. That'll do it again for another edition of Locked On Lions today on a Monday into Tuesday right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're going to really take a deep breath and relax. A lot of football left. A lot. Today, by the way, Caldwell asked about Darius Slay's injury, and the hamstring. Caldwell gave him a CTR. Check the report. We'll see if he can practice on Wednesday. We'll have some guests this week. We'll go down to Dallas at the end of the week, of course, and get the latest from Big D on what they expect. Randy Gregory might play all of a sudden. Lions and Cowboys, Monday night. Podcasts all week right here, Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, everybody. Stay warm.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.